Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Voices for Change 2.0. We are so glad to have you with us today.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for joining us on this. I wouldn't call it a late January Saturday, but, you know,
yeah, it's late-ish.
Late-ish kind of thing in the wonderful year of our Lord 2018. As you can tell, yes, I am still sick. All I can say to that is, be careful out there with, this flu that's going around. If you're starting to feel crappy, don't try and wait it out. Go to the doctor. That's what I'm doing today after the show. 2 weeks, people. I've been dealing with this for 2 weeks. And, you know, I don't think I have the flu per se, but it's maybe like a sinus infection. I don't know. I know this is the exciting topic of conversation that you guys were hoping for when the show started. So you're welcome for that. Thank you. Darling?
Yeah, we might have to get a cat out of a garbage can in a minute.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Pardon the calamities that are happening with us here today. We have the three cats, and they all like to show up whenever we're doing a show. So we might have to fetch one out of a garbage can in a minute. So
yeah, if you hear a loud bang in the background, that would be Abby. And oh my God, she's
getting in there.
I better go get her.
Yeah, go ahead.
I will be right back. Pardon me.
Yeah, that's one of the benefits of doing the show from your home. Interesting things like that happen, so please forgive us. But today we have a really exciting show plan for you. We're very excited to talk to these two ladies. They have started their very own 501c3 charity along with a podcast called Giving Voice to Depression. And they're working very, very hard to make sure that everyone knows about suicide prevention and have an outlet for their mental health concerns, and we're just really glad to have them here today and happy that they're in our corner working to end the stigma surrounding mental illness. So please welcome to the show Terry and Bridget.
Thanks
so
for
glad
having
to
us.
Be here.
Hello, ladies.
Welcome back, Joe. You take care of everything with Abby?
I have taken care of everything with Abby. She is now no longer able to get into the trash can. You'll be happy to know.
Well done. Calamity averted.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. let's just say she can't get into the trash anymore. There's no telling what else she'll get into. But
yeah, she's a juvenile delinquent.
She is a juvenile delinquent, yes. And if anybody's ever gone on to, you know, especially Beck's pages and seen pictures of our cats, it's the little orange one that looks cute as a Dickens, but yeah, she can be
evil incarnate.
Always
the cute ones.
It is. It's always the cute ones. Yeah, that's how they get away with everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty sure that's how it is with children too, but you know, I don't know.
I do. We do.
I do.
So then you can attest to that.
Yes.
All right. So let's, if you guys don't have any questions for us, we're going to jump in here.
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment, and I just want to thank you. You guys are amazing on Twitter, and you have that clarity of mission that, you know, there's some people out there where they have their podcast, and so they won't mention yours because there's some sort of competition. But like us, you understand this is, we're all on the same team and we're all stronger together. And I just so respect the work you do and your hashtag keep talking MH mental health. It's just an honor to be here. And I really am very impressed with the work you do and very grateful that you do it.
Well, thank
thanks.
You for saying that. That's very kind of you. We appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing is, you know, yeah, there are people that look at it as a competition, and it really isn't. You know, we're all in this together. We're all
exactly
fighting the same fight and, you know, trying to break through the stigma that we all encounter. And, you know, I'd rather take the time getting the word out on everybody.
Absolutely.
That we're all swimming the same direction in the ocean, you know, and so, yeah, absolutely.
And if it was
so
just you or just us, it would be half as much. You know, I mean, I hope there are a million podcasts out there talking about it so that there are a million opportunities to hear it and you know, normalize the discussion. So, again, thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thanks for saying that. Yeah. We appreciate that.
So this question is going to be for both of you. So if you want to each take a turn and answer, that would be fabulous. Where does your mental health journey begin?
Way, 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 way back. I believe that we should only tell our own stories, not other people's stories. I think that's theirs to tell, so I won't give any names, but certainly it was pervasive in our childhood. And I think for me, it reared its ugly head probably freshman year of college. And I was lucky enough to have my sister Terry on the other side of town, who came in and swooped in and sat with me on the floor of my dorm room in a puddling mess and reminded me, you know, who I am and what I'm made of. And I will never, ever, ever forget the importance of her presence that night. I think it reared its head again after I had my first child. I think it whacked my thyroid out, which I believe is a part of depression. My hormones, obviously, my sleep patterns were disrupted, and those are all key components, I believe, for underlying sort of threads that weave the tapestry of depression. And I am an alternative medicine person professionally. I'm a neurofeedback specialist, a massage therapist, and an EFT practitioner, so I tend to try those modalities. And I can honestly tell you that I tried everything that my checkbook and my heart could allow, and it didn't work. It wasn't enough. For me, I needed meds. And then I got, you know, as soon as you feel better, I felt like I could get off them and fight this battle again with all of these wonderful modalities and supplements and exercise and meditation and babysitters. It didn't do it. And I fell pretty deep. And that was about 2 years ago. And that's actually when we started the podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that expression that I love of giving purpose to the pain is kind of where my relationship to this is.
Okay. Okay.
And I would say mine started in high school. I think hormones play a big part in mine too. So, you know, you're looking at like 13, and then it got really bad again on the other end of that whole spectrum now that I'm in my mid-50s. And like my sister. And I think it's fascinating, actually, in terms of, I'm not a believer that everything happens for a reason, because there are some things that have happened to people we love that there's no reason for. But 2 years ago, we both had a really low point, and that's when we started talking about this project. We didn't actually launch the podcast until it'll be a year in February. But I think that dipping back into, I will use the metaphor chocolate, but that's not what I'm thinking, but dipping us both into that.
Where are you going with this
stuff?
One?
Well, I'm thinking of being dipped like a strawberry, but I was going to say another word that isn't chocolate that's also dark brown, that we were dipped into that to reconnect with the pain of depression so that we could do a good job and empathize and really understand what the people who are sharing their stories on our podcast are talking about, because having recently been in that hole and in that darkness and reconnecting with all of that is what made us do this.
Okay.
That's where I was going with this.
I applaud the self-edit.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was awkward, but...
You know, sometimes you're in that spot and you're like, how do I explain this without being vulgar and whatnot? Yeah. we definitely appreciate that. But yeah, no, I'm sorry that you guys both went for a dip a couple years ago. You know,
That was one of our next questions, was what made you decide to start a podcast? So Terry, it was sort of your own experiences kind of led you in that direction.
It was. And I, Bridget explained her background a bit. Mine was as a journalist. And so having been both a TV, you know, reporter and anchor and doing interviews and then doing voice work, you know, it seemed like if you put all of my life experiences, including working at a crisis hotline, you know, training in mental health, first aid and everything into a, you know, pot, I'm using another metaphor here, you know, and distilled it down to a single drop, it almost comes out this podcast, because it's like every life experience I've had, including losing loved ones to suicide, just sort of distills into the need to do this, into the mission. And it's the same one you have.
Right.
Pardon me. I'm losing my voice again.
It's okay. That explains the good radio voices that I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a little intimidating standing alongside her.
You do just fine, Britt.
You guys both sound great. So
thanks.
What type of services, I'll direct this to Bridget, what type of services do you provide through your charity, Giving Voice to Mental Illness, Inc.?
Perhaps Terry should answer because she's the one who's got feet on the ground. She is a force to be reckoned with. She has she is in the deep end of this and has given, like, on a cellular level herself to this project. Every chance she gets to speak on the radio, to speak on podcasts, to speak on the television. She's out at fun runs with a table giving out tattoos and stickers, and we have a profoundly, what's the word, Terry? Like,
engaged.
People use the word family. I'm hesitating to say that, but people use the word family for our Facebook community. Between Twitter and Facebook, I think we're up to about, we're right neck and neck with you. We started about a year ago.
Oh, no, we're not.
Well, no, I don't mean in our reach. I mean in our days of this project. They're celebrating their anniversary, as are we, in a few weeks.
Oh, okay. Time-wise, but they're rock stars.
And you know, these people, they support one another, and we have a full-time volunteer who tries within moments to reply back to all of these Facebook and Twitter comments. And people genuinely feel deeply supported. We've even recently had they are deeply supported, and they are connected, and they support one another, and they're vulnerable, and they're real, and we all are there for each other, and it's quite beautiful.
Tell them about Christmas.
To me, I want to tell them about one of our listeners from the beginning. Had a
yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, had her husband passed away, and she was on our Facebook, it seemed to me, you know, very, very, very early in this process. And she got a tidal wave of support. I mean, and this is during the holidays when it's a very difficult time for most of us and people are already feeling overwhelmed. But everybody reached in and was there for her. And there was this cocoon or net, like a warm net around her.
More than 500 people posted either love, prayers, support, hearts. It was really beautiful, really beautiful.
That's awesome when that happens, you know. It's great the mental health community that is out there because, you know, you guys see it, we see it, you know, everybody understands that, you know, we're all at varying stages of good or bad, you know, and some of us are more up than others, and when those of us that are not as up need some uppage, you know, everybody else kind of jumps in and you know, and you get this big warm hug around you, you know, and it's a wonderful feeling.
I love Hedegaard.
Booing. Nice.
Yeah. Booing. Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. Good word.
One of the quotes about that is, you know, that we walk out, you have to respect people who walk out of the fire carrying buckets of water for the people who are still in it, you know? So it's like you can connect with it because you've been there.
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly
or are
it.
There.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or are there.
So basically you with your charity? You are a sponsor?
So far, the only thing, it's not an only, but it's the first production of Giving Voice to Mental Illness is the Giving Voice to Depression podcast and its social media and community outreach. The plan is to give voice to, some other mental illnesses, starting with anxiety and bipolar because of the overlap with depression. So eventually, with funding and staffing, that would be where I hope to go, so that there will be essentially a almost like a podcast library on these different challenges, so that, you know, if you need to hear somebody else's story or a particular aspect of it or learn some language to explain what's going on in your mind, in your body, in your heart, or to educate somebody in your life, you know, we'll have one on the difference between sad and depressed and, you know, have experts saying it, so it's not you trying to explain it to somebody who's just thinking you don't handle your stuff as well as they do.
Right.
But, you know, you've got researchers and therapists saying, no, there's actually a difference. You know, it's like the difference between a sore throat and strep throat. It's the difference between what you thought you had 2 weeks ago and what you know you have now, which is why you're going to the doctor.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, you know, and it's, you know, one thing that we've uncovered from doing this for so long is, you know, it's like, you know, bipolar and anxiety, you know, depression, they get a lot, relatively speaking, they get a lot of attention. You know, it's pervasive in this country, the amount of people that battle it, you know, but as we've done this show over the last year and a half now.
No, we started in January.
Yeah.
This version of the show.
In the past year is how many other mental health afflictions are out there that, you know, still need the spotlight, you know, talking more about PTSD, talking more about DID, you know, different things like that. And, you know, being able to draw attention to these things that, you know, most people, their exposure to them is, you know, whatever's portrayed in Hollywood, you know, which
right.
more often than not gets it wrong on stuff. You know,
yeah.
And it you know, really sticks in our craw when they do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we take pride in being able to draw that attention too. I'm sure you guys do as well. You know, mm-hmm. so thank you for doing that.
Yeah,
oh, you're welcome.
Maybe you could, just off the top of my head, maybe you could fill us in a little bit, Terry, on some of the types of guests that you have on your show.
Sure. We were determined not to have the I'm Sad 2 podcast. You know, we didn't, that's not helpful to anyone really, other than, you know, hearing, oh yeah, somebody else goes through that. But
mm-hmm.
when, you know, being a journalist, I have to approach this that way. And we spoke with Dr. Patrick Corrigan, who is one of the leading stigma reduction researchers, and he's in Chicago, which is near me. And, you know, he said that the best way is not education. It's not saying, hey, this is a mental illness, not a weakness, because as much as we say it, you either get it or you don't. But the best way for you to get it is through personal stories. So we have tried to come at depression from, and there, you know, are as many different perspectives on it as there are people with it. But, you know, we've spoken with a 93-year-old woman who was not diagnosed and isn't sure if she's clinically depressed or if it's just depressing to be nearing the end of your life, to, you know, teenagers, to new mothers, people who experience postpartum depression, people who experience antepartum depression, mm-hmm. which I'd never heard of, but during pregnancy. Bridget, some more. We talked to comedians.
We've talked to fathers who have lost their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide
attempt survivors.
Yep. We've talked to the an officer who patrols the Golden Gate Bridge to help prevent people from right. jumping in that moment.
And someone who was
several
over
authors.
The rails. And then the guy who stopped and talked to him, and he changed his mind and came back over, and they're now friends and mental health advocates. So,
wow.
Yeah, we've been... So many, I mean, everybody's story is interesting because it's real. You know, it's the story of a human being's life, and that's inherently interesting.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and you've had, you know, that's another reason why it's important for all of us to sort of lift each other up and to share the different shows, because you've had a very different collection of guests than we've had. I think there's as silly as it sounds, I think there's enough mental illness out there for everybody to get some mental illness,
and you get some mental illness. Yeah. It's like, oh no, thanks, yeah. I'm good, I've got my fill.
Got some. No, thanks.
So, that said, we're gonna look into taking our first break.
Okay.
We're going to be listening to "Help You Fly" by Tara and Naomi.
We'll be right back.
We will be right back. Stay tuned.
I know how misery loves its company. Got a party gathered around you now. They come running from far and wide, but who's gonna help you fly? And they come calling when you're falling down. Someone always pick you up off the ground. Oh, nobody wanna see you cry, but who's gonna help you fly? Smaller every day, it's like a little town. People always gonna help you get by, but who's gonna help you fly? And it's a messed up situation when I got the world to call on when the well runs dry. But I just wanna celebrate my life, wanna find someone to help me fly.
Welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I am Joe. The beautiful woman sitting next to me is Rebecca.
And you are awfully excited today.
I am. I despite my illness, I am peppy.
Yay.
And we, if you're just tuning in, we are being joined by the wonderful Terry and Bridget of the podcast Giving Voice to Your Depression. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining us this morning. Especially Bridget with having to get up at the butt crack of dawn to be with us.
And get all my teenagers out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I imagine getting them out of the house isn't tough. Getting them out of the house at 8 o'clock in the morning for you is tough. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I can sympathize with that, being as, you know, it was 10 o'clock, 10:30 when, you know, our time, when we started rousing to do this thing. And, yeah, getting up, that just felt too early at 10:30, so.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
Yeah, it is.
There's other people out there that get up at, you know, 9 or 7. 8 or even 7. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure my mother was up at. I'm sure my mother was up at 6:30. So
yes, as was I. But it's not pathetic. If you can sleep in on a Saturday, that's a luxury, and you work hard all week, you earn it.
Oh, thanks. Because I would like to do that some more.
Yeah, probably go back to sleep after the show, but yeah. So tell us where can people listen to your podcast, Giving Voice to Depression?
On a lot of platforms. You put it on SoundCloud, it's iTunes. Bridget, do you have a list or something? It's on our website.
No, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube.
So
our website, givingvoicetodepression.com, has a link.
You can ask Alexa to play the podcast. My mom does that. Our mom does that, which is
listening
no
right now.
She's
Hi, Mom.
93.
Hi, Mom. Love you.
Hi, Mom.
Or just Google it and you'll find one of them. But iTunes and SoundCloud are kind of the ones we usually say.
And we're actually, we're on Facebook, and we're also on Pinterest. And Terry makes these gorgeous, can I say exquisite, every day. There's either an inspirational quote or something that you'll identify with a beautiful image behind it. And, you know,
she posts them all the time, Bridget. They're so sweet. You guys are wonderful with retweets.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we kind of tend to go nuts with the retweeting.
Yeah. It's just nice. It's wonderful. Because, you know, again, it's spreading the word and spreading the message and spreading hope and spreading the knowledge you're not alone. And, you know, that there's a whole bunch of us in the same boat. And hopefully together we'll keep it from sinking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of, I'm a gardener, and it reminds me of seeding. You know, it's sort of like broadcasting seeds onto the, you know, you never know when someone's going to listen or look, or today do they need to hear it, or is this exactly what they need to hear today, or, you know, we just have to keep seeding it.
That's exactly right. You know, you, it's funny, you get the exact message that you need at the exact moment you need it, I find.
Thanks.
You know, you're thinking a certain thing, and then all of a sudden, bam, there's the answer right in front of you. And it's where you least expect it. Like you're out and about, and you're like, man, I could use a coffee. And you run into just a little coffee shop, and you're going through some turmoil, and you look up on the wall, and there's the exact message that you need to get you through that moment.
Hmm.
It's weird.
Divine.
Sometimes you have to look for it.
But... yeah, sometimes you have to look for it, but, you know, more often than not, it's hey, there I am. Check me out. So,
well, Joe, I have to say, you did that for me last week. And on your podcast, when you were sharing your perspective on kind of the role of the caretaker and on loving your wife as deeply as you do,
you gave
me goosebumps from head to toe. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. And if anyone didn't listen to last week's podcast, it's kind of minute 51 to 57. Can I read it? Can I read a little bit about what you said, Joe?
Sure. Thank you.
You're gonna hear it, I think, and feel the same way. I don't know how you couldn't. It's so gorgeous. So you said, all that matters is that when I come home to you, you're there and that you love me. Everything else is details. We'll figure everything else out. I reinforce that message as often as needed. I don't care if she doesn't get out of bed that day. I don't care if you don't vacuum the bedroom. I, as a caretaker, put my pride aside. I realize that we're a team and that we work together. You ask me, the caretaker, asks, how can I make your day better? Period. Without expectations, without conditions. That's what you do. That is love.
Oh,
gosh. I mean, Rebecca, you are so lucky.
I know. Believe me, I have to kind of bring myself down, you know, from wherever I'm at every day and just remember how lucky that I am. You know, I don't have any words anymore without, you know, going into tears here. But yeah, he's an amazing individual.
I'm totally flattered that you actually wrote down what I said. Thank you. I'm touched.
Beautiful. I mean, do you have how many here? Of us? I mean, that, oh man, that's like fertilizer and a steak if you're a tomato plant, you know. It's like everything. It's beautiful.
You know, that's beautiful. That's the thing is you know, she's my baby, you know. Mm-hmm. And I realized that a long time ago, that and I've always viewed her like this, that, you know, she's not her illness. You know, right. Talking like she's not here in the room with me. But yeah, you know, that, and that's, I think, something really important that, you know, caretakers need to remember is you have to check your pride at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm dealing with a bit of a sinus thing right in this moment, but, you know, when you're a caretaker, you can't take things for granted. You can't take offense at something that is said that maybe in a different situation you would. You know, you have to take a step back and go, okay, are they truly angry with me, or is it part of what they're going through with their stuff? You know, and you have to evaluate it, you know. And
is the person with the illness, too, you have to, you're struggling, and that's understandable, and you're going through a lot, but when you're in a relationship, it's important to make that other person aware that, look, it's not you, it's something going on with me right now, you haven't done anything wrong.
Yep.
And it's really important. I wrote a piece on it for HuffPost and The Mighty about, you know, making the other person in your relationship feel more secure in your relationship, even though you're dealing with this, you know, horrible bout of depression or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So it's important that both people are on the same page and you communicate. I can't give you enough information about, you know, how much communication it's the focal point of our relationship.
Yeah, you know, she's great about giving me a heads up. Hey, I'm having a bad day. Hey, I'm really angry today for some reason. You know, hey this, hey that. And, you know, that prepares me for, you know,
whatever
is going on. You know, and I'll ask her, well, is there anything I can do to help? You know, is there anything that you need? Is there anything that you want? And, you know, sometimes I'll get, no, I just have to get through it myself, in which case I reassure her, okay, well, you're not alone. You know, we'll get through this together. Sometimes I'll surprise her with a bouquet of flowers just because I know that'll put a smile on her face, you know. And gentlemen out there, never underestimate the power of flowers ever. Okay. Just putting that out there for the guys that are listening. Yeah.
In case my husband's listening, I prefer the how can I make this day better for you, period.
Yeah. You know, but that's the other thing, too. You know, and sometimes it's as simple as bringing home a bottle of orange. I was going to say orange pop because, you know, we're in the Midwest and we call it pop.
Yeah, but, you guys may not call it pop.
Yeah, but you know, orange soda will put a smile on her face.
Red pop currently is the one.
Red pop currently is the thing that puts a smile on her face. So,
but let's bring the focus of the show.
Yeah.
Back to our guest.
I want to add one point, because when you're talking about the remarkable and also very educational, the way you just described it, relationship between the person who is needing some care and the one who's providing it, I think as somebody with depression, when we're not in need of support. I think it's really important for us to be supportive of the person who takes care of us and to be able to then articulate our gratitude for their support, because in it, it's kind of hard to do. Sometimes it's just like, get away. But doesn't sound like that's how you are, but I live alone, so I don't have anyone to say that to. But I think that, you know, when we can, we should, you know, really express our gratitude for that support and, you know, and say, hey, I'm great today, or I'm fine today. What can I do for you? What do you need? What do you want? You know, how can I make your day better? Here's some orange pop or red pop and some flowers for you. just to sort of turn it around, because, it, you know, both people have to be fed.
Right.
Yeah, because it's easy to get depleted.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pardon me once again.
You need some orange pop.
She's got red pop in the fridge.
There you go.
She drank the other bottle already.
No, I haven't had it yet.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks
thanks for telling the world about that.
One thing we figured out early on in doing the podcast is that we can't actually drink any type of carbonated beverage during the show.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear you burp. Yeah.
No. Nobody wants to hear you burp. So, little inside tip there for
anybody that's just
coming podcaster.
Yeah.
Stick to water.
Stick to water. Stick to nothing with carbonation in it. You'll be.
Yeah. You might have to pee, but God bless you. You won't be belching in the microphone.
And now you know why we play music from time to time.
There you go. That's why we keep ours 15 minutes long.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. That'll do it. You also do some public speaking, don't you?
Don't you?
Don't you?
Don't you, hey?
Don't you, hey?
Don't you, hey?
I gotta go to the bubbler while you guys go talk about this.
What kind of speaking engagements are you involved in?
Anything stand out to you?
We were at the Active Minds Conference, the national conference in Washington, D.C., and did one of the breakout sessions on the power of telling your story to reduce stigma. Mm-hmm. Spoke to journalism class, a podcast class in UW-Madison, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and at Marquette University on a panel for suicide prevention and depression awareness. It was a live town hall panel, and they also profiled us. And then we've been on the radio here in Milwaukee, great station 88.9, and a couple interviews on TV news, you know, like for the new year, called them and said, hey, you know, everybody's in the gym and everybody's talking about their commitment to health for the new year and their resolution, but let's not forget mental health. And, you know, they said, hey, that's a great point, come on in. So as Bridget said earlier, it's kind of any chance we can get. You know, I'll talk about this all day, all night. Anybody else wants me on their, you know, us on their podcast? It's just part of, it's what we can do. You know, it's what we can do. There are so many things we can't do. You know, we can't reach out and, you know, hug everybody who we'd want to hug or console everybody or educate everybody. But we can talk, and talking is, you know, talking and listening are probably the two most powerful things, and they're well within our ability.
Oh, and Terry, yeah. You write so beautifully. You've got to tell them about your mighty article.
Yeah, we wrote an article about my experience, and like you, you know, it ended up being on the Mighty, and NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, posted it on their site. And, you know, Rebecca's written a book, so, you know, I can't be bragging about my writing. She's I'm just going to stop now. Tell us about your book.
Yeah, you can, Terry. It's a beautiful article. Tell them just the premise of it. It's so important to ask a different question.
The question. Oh, that was that I think when you go to a doctor or call a hotline or something, you know, you can just ask the question, are you suicidal? You know, are you thinking of committing suicide? And that's a very, very important question to ask. But it is an assessment of risk more than it's the beginning of a conversation. And so I was suggesting that therapists, friends, ask, do you ever consider death as a welcome thing? Do you think that would be better? You know, do you wish you were dead sometimes? And that starts a discussion. And then you can really get into somebody's head and thought, because I'm not suicidal and I have never been. But, you know, my point in that article was, you know, when I was where I was 2 years ago. And like my sister Bridget, I also take antidepressants and have not gone back to that place since going back on them. You know, I would, any given night, I thought, you know, I'd be cool. I'd be cool not waking up, you know. I'd be fine with that because this is just so unfun and so hard and so dark and so, you know, I just didn't see anything that I thought was true of myself didn't seem true anymore. And, I mean, good. And so it's so nice to be on this side of it. And, you know, I just want to reach into the dark to everybody who's listening or everybody who's out there and just say, you know, I have no superpowers, you know, and nor does my sister that I know of. And, you know, you come out of it, you know, just believe that. Believe me. You know, I'm sitting here talking. We're laughing. I'm doing a podcast. You're doing a podcast. You know, we're public speaking and telling people that, but couldn't have done it 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I was in bed. Yep. So, you know, it just is, you know, there is another side and there is hope and there is recovery and there is light and there is clarity and there is hope. And it's just, so public speaking, I'll tell anybody that because I wish someone had been saying it to me. And that's my motivation for all of this. I sat there in bed when I thought, this can't be how my story ends. It just can't. And then when I came out of it, I thought, yep, I have to talk to the people who are in bed. You know, I have to tell them there's another side.
Yeah.
And it's just as important, excuse me, it's just as important to let them know that, you know, if they've fallen back into bed from that happy place where they felt stable, that they can reach it again, that it's you can aspire to be, you know, happy and healthy once again. And taking a time out is taking time out for yourself is not a negative thing.
No, not at all. You know, it kind of, you kind of liken it to the never quit quitting campaign that smoking uses. You know, it's like, you know, if you backslide and you find yourself back in bed, you can get out of bed again, you know, and you can do it again and again and again, you know.
You have to.
And it may be different each time. You know, it's definitely, it's not the same solution always. You know, you have to have a big bag of tricks and you have to have some good practitioners and a support system. And, you know, I think at different times, it's either deeper and darker or it requires something different. It's not always the same old.
Wouldn't it be great if there was a patch you could slap on your arm like the smokers have?
Yes.
That'd be great.
Yes. Or if antidepressants.
Well, they do make patches that are glutathione and serotonin and things like that now.
Oh, do they?
You get kind of a constant drip. Yeah, it's called Life Wave, and you can see them on Suzanne Summers' website.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's pretty hip.
Suzanne, if you're listening.
I'm a big fan, Suzanne. I've got my Thymaster right here.
If you're listening, we would very much like you on the show. put that out
like
into the universe.
To send money.
Yeah, we can't pay you, but we'll give you a big hug sometime.
A big virtual hug.
Yeah. So, have you guys encountered any roadblocks while getting your message out there?
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep going full time when you're not getting paid. The energy is still there, but it makes it really difficult to put in as many hours as we do without proper funding. So we've done some crowdsourcing and we're so blessed to have our first grant. And it just makes it hard. There's expenditures and an enormous amount of time that goes into it. Mm-hmm. So funding, I think.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, you know, anything worth doing, try and, you know, put what you can do it. And it's hard when you want to, you have this vision and you know what you want to do with it, but then you open your wallet and you're like, okay, maybe not.
And you know what a difference it can make and how important it is. And how many families out there, you know, not foundations and not, you know, the 1%, just kind of regular families have been affected by mental illness or suicide. And, you know, you're like $20 a pop, you know, I mean, you know, if people just understood that your podcast, our podcast, you know, these efforts require funding because
they require time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there are certain platforms that we broadcast on that, you know, it's not free.
No,
you know?
Exactly.
And that's,
and the
that's,
sound
that's,
engineer and, you know,
your producer and yes.
Yep. Well, our producer is thebomb.com, so.
Thebomb.com.
Yeah, we're just we're lucky to have them, but.
Mm-hmm.
So what is next for you?
You're leaving that for me, Archibridge.
Yeah.
I was waiting for you. What is next for us? I would like to do more speaking. I would like to be at conferences again. Even that requires funding, right? Because, you know, to go to a national conference someplace, you got to fly, you got to be at the hotel, you got to, you know, one of them had a $1,400 table fee. I'd love to be there, but that's some serious scratch. So that, I would like to get the message out more.
I would love Terry to do a TED Talk.
Yeah, you would like that, wouldn't you? Okay. I would also like to be a runway model, but I'm not sure either of those things are going to happen. But I will try on the former, Bridget. I have a better shot.
I'm sure.
And then, you know, hopefully, as I said, expand into the co-occurrent things. And I'm not ignoring the other illnesses or struggles that you mentioned. I just don't happen to have them. So, you know, I think, you know, like you write what you know, I think we're going to start with the things that we know and then expand out to, oh gosh, you know, there are so many, as you said. And, you know, you can interview somebody about any topic and with a empathetic heart and genuine curiosity, you know, you can do a really respectable job telling their story, conveying their story and the information. So I'm willing to learn about anything and want to. I'm, you know, that's why I went into journalism. I'm a curious person. And, you know, it's not as though we only need to understand the struggles we have. You know, I mean, I know a lot about diabetes and I don't have it. And speaking of which, you know, I do medical narration. And one of the things I did in my last diabetes narration was talk about who's on your speed dial, who knows where your insulin is, who knows how to handle if you have a problem, and who do you call? And I thought, why the hell aren't we saying that for mental health too? Why don't we say who's in your speed dial? Who knows what depression is? Who knows what anxiety is? Who knows what your panic attacks are like? And who could you call and say, shouldn't be alone right now? Not because I might be suicidal, but you might be, but you know, I'm just in a really bad place and I don't want to talk, but come over. Just sit with me. Just be in the other room. Don't even be near me. Just be in the other room so I know I'm not alone. You know, bring a book, bring a movie, whatever. And we should have those things. And we should have the, I try not to use the word should, but the, you know, suicide prevention lifeline in our phones so that whether it's us or somebody we talk to who says, you know, they have a question you don't know how to answer. You know, you get on the phone and you call it maybe on speaker with them and say, let's ask somebody who's been trained to answer that question.
Right, you can also call the or text rather the crisis text line.
Yes, 741-741.
741-741. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On a side note, I actually did the training to be one of the people on the crisis text line.
Really?
But I tried it and I went several weeks. I was just about finished with it, but. It actually was a little bit too much for me. So, while there's people that have, you know, that are afflicted with mental illness are able to take that step and maybe be a volunteer on one of those lines, I unfortunately wasn't one of those people. So I'm not trying to turn anybody off from it. But personally, for me, it was just a little bit too much. It was a little too triggering.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, for those that are listening that do work at it, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for picking up, you know, the leash where I dropped it.
Taking the lead.
Yeah. You can't do everything.
You can't do everything.
I worked at the crisis hotline. Uh-huh. No. And when I volunteered for a little over a year at a call-in hotline, a local one, and I quit when I said it in sort of a funny way, so they laughed when I left, but I said, I've become a caller. You know, I shouldn't be here anymore. I should be on the other end of this phone. And it was just, I knew I was spiraling down and, you know, it was getting harder and harder for me, as you say, to take the calls, not so much that they were triggering, but I just knew that I didn't have the right energy to respond to them, because I either wanted to go, I know, you know,
isn't it hard?
You know, it does suck, you know, and you can't. So I quit when this whole that really deep one started, and just said, I got to get out of here. So I do understand, Rebecca, and I don't consider it dropping anything. Everything you learned in your training, you're using right now, and that has enormous value. Let somebody else, you know, respond to the text.
Right.
Very true.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. Okay, I'll ask that one. Where can people find you on social media?
Bridgie.
Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube.
Facebook being the Giving Voice to Depression community page. Twitter is @VoiceDepression. Mm-hmm. Our website is givingvoicetodepression.com. And yes, I do realize I interrupted, but I was just giving specifics. Go ahead, Bridge. Sorry.
No, that's good. Go.
And if she said Twitter.
No, you guys aren't sisters.
Yeah, right. I'm getting texts. Would you shut up? God.
No, she's not. No, she got not. And I love you. And I'm your fan.
So, yes, I think those things, we love each other. So we're the sixth and seventh of a family of seven kids. So.
Wow.
Yep.
I come from a family of six. I'm the baby.
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So those of you out there know what kind of challenge I married, marrying the baby.
Yep.
It's all right. She's my baby.
Yeah.
Pretty so with your Facebook page, what is the I'm on there and I liked it, but just so people know that where they can find it, how do they get in touch with you on Facebook?
I think you just search for Giving Voice to Depression and then join it, follow it. We post daily, as Bridget said. Sarah, who I believe is listening right now, watches it, and there is, if you post, you get a response, because we know that one of the things that's true for many people with depression is that A, you feel alone, B, you feel like no one understands, and you know, we want you to know that neither is true there. You know, you are certainly not alone, and we do understand. We might have a different flavor or a different experience of the illness, but, you know, it doesn't mean we don't know what the pit is, or, you know, the struggle of getting out. Or as you say, you know, just because you got out, you went back in, that's not a failure. You know, that's called a cycle, and that's how it works, you know.
Right.
You know, we like to think
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but that's a really important distinction that I think gets missed, is that, you know, for those of us that are afflicted, understanding that it's not a failure.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's something I really have to beat into my head, because I have that failure complex. You know, just not getting one little thing done that day will send me into this horrible fog of guilt and shame.
Yeah,
and, you know, and it's terrible. You know, I can come on the radio and I can talk to people and I can carry on and have a, you know, a good discussion and everything, but people don't realize that I'm still every day experiencing the darkness and, you know, having to lift myself out of it. So it's really hard, you know, to keep going sometimes. And, you know, that's why it's so important that we're all supportive of each other.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
Well, we were talking about it not being a failing, but it's also not a weakness. And it's one of the things that blows my mind, because, you know, when people say, oh, you know, in any way saying that because we have depression or something else, we're weak. As you just said,
that it's a
getting your ass out of
flaw.
Bed. And, oh, my gosh, getting out of bed and doing the show when you might be in a really dark place, or getting out of bed and going to work or taking care of your family, I'll tell you, that's strength. You know, there is no weakness there. And I've been depressed, and I've been not depressed, fortunately. And it's harder depressed. Everything's harder. And you get your kids to school still, and you have to go to their plays, and you make the meals, and you go to work, and you do your podcast, and you know, that's strength. That's fortitude. Mm-hmm. That's resilience. you know, I can't, I mean, when I hear the word weakness, especially like in a public forum, or so, I'll stand up and say, excuse me, you couldn't be more wrong. I do this stuff when I'm well and I can do it with my eyes closed. But when I got to drag myself out of bed to do it, it's harder than hell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my PSA. That's my don't you dare call it weak. You know, there is enormous strength required.
Hard.
It is. And I hate that I wouldn't want it either.
It's how we talk to ourselves. It's that shame that we're imposing on ourselves, that self-stigma, right? I mean, we have to cut ourselves some slack, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that, and I've had that conversation multiple times with Beck where she's like, oh, I'm a failure, I'm this, I'm that, and I have to reassure her, no, you're not. You know, you are battling an illness. You're having a bad day. Mm-hmm. We will get through it together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tough thing.
I love
thing,
you, Joe.
I know, Joe. Do you have a brother?
You're
the single one here.
we'll
talk off air.
I'll have to get back on that one. There's extenuating circumstances with that.
And I'm old, so anyway.
It's a long story.
But
anyway, you know, it's finding that fortitude when you don't have it, you know, and sometimes it takes having somebody else point it out to you, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that's not a failing. That's not a weakness. It's not a failure. It's, mm-hmm. it's a cycle, you know,
mm-hmm.
this illness cycles, you know, the people that have the benefit of, you know, a broken arm, you know, it breaks, you throw a cast on it, it heals, you go about your business.
Right.
When you're dealing with an illness that cycles, it's a constant battle, you know, and Beck will message me and be like, I'm so exhausted today. And I don't know why. And it's like, well, because you're battling an illness every minute of your waking life. Of course you're exhausted. Mm. You
and
know,
you're battling yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, to me, that's the insidious part is, you know, I mean, my Lord, if I could broadcast what's going on in my head on a bad day, it is so toxic and so self-defeating. I don't know how I can even like inhale sometimes.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and that's a perfect description for it, you know. So.
But it looks like we have reached our limit here.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, we've had such a good time talking to you guys. It's been such a great conversation that I think we've actually maybe gone over a little bit, but
maybe, you know, but that's but that's okay. It's been wonderful talking to you guys and getting the word out on your podcast, which is
again
called, you know, Giving Voice to Depression. Guys, go check them out. They're great.
Find them on iTunes and
SoundCloud and on
Stitcher,
their own website.
Sonos and, yep.
That's
and quickly, I just want to give a shout out to Rebecca's petition because I'm a huge advocate of youth and mental health. And everybody
get on
her website and sign where she's asking that it actually be required that all students take a mental health awareness course when they're in school.
Yes, thank you for the reminder on that.
Absolutely.
www.rebeccalombardo.com. You can find my petition. It's lost a little bit of its initial steam, so it'd be nice to have some new signatures on there.
You'll get at least two today. Yep.
Yay.
You already got mine.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you, you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Stick around.
And thank you for everything you do.
We're going to go out on Living in the Moment by Casey Lansdale.
Cool.
So have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Good luck at the doctor.
Thanks.
Easy to get off track. Easy to lose your way. In a world that makes you believe there's no time to waste. That you gotta have it all. Better have it all. Better not slow down. Looking ahead got me looking in circles. Life with a plan at first seems hopeful. Worry that I won't make it like I want if time keeps.
You'll miss that.